So, the Wharf Hall Walk is a really exciting walk because it starts with a boat trip. The whole of the story is all based along the River Thames, essentially, so I thought this is going to be difficult doing this as a walk, and then I thought, well, let's start off with a boat tour. So that's what we do. We start at Hampton Court, get on a boat, and we go all the way past the Royal Palaces to where Cromwell was born in Putney, and then on up past Chelsea, where More lived, and then to Westminster, the King's Palace, to Bridewell Palace, the palace of Catherine of Aragon, then on to Tower of London, where Anne Boleyn was kept before being beheaded, and then we go on to Greenwich, where many of the royal children were born, and where Anne Boleyn was when she was arrested. So that's what the itinerary is of the first part, which is the boat trip. The second part is equally as important. We get a Docklands Light Railway, virtually, and then a tube, and we end up at Liverpool Street, and we walk into the City of London, where we explore the home of Thomas More at Crosby Place. Well, he owned it, at least, anyway. Not that he lived there, but he owned Crosby Place for a while. And then we go across the road to Austin Friars, where Thomas Cromwell lived. And then from there we go to the Barge, which is Thomas More's house, up Cheapside to where Thomas More was born, to the corner of St. Martin le Grand, where he confronted the evil May Day riot of 1517, in which the Londoners decided to try and kill off all the foreign workers in London. And then from there we go to Smithfield, where most of the events of the Reformation can be summarised, but particularly personalised to the stories of Cromwell and More. And to finish off, we walk round the walls to Tower Hill, where we dispatch both of our heroes, More first, and then Thomas Cromwell. And at that point, we consider what might their fate be in the afterlife. So that's the programme. We'll be exploring what happened in the Reformation, how London expanded, and what London was like during this crucial period in London's history. And just to give you a flavour of what Tudor and early Stuart London was, I want to read this poem by Ben Jonson. I will fetch thee a leap from the top of Paul's steeple to the standard in sheep, and lead thee a dance through the streets without fail, like a needle of Spain with a thread at my tail. We will survey the suburbs and make forth our sallies down Petticoat Lane and up Smock Alleys, to Shoreditch, Whitechapel, and so to St. Catherine's, to drink with the Dutch there and take forth their patterns. From thence we will put in at Custom House Quay there, and see how the factors and prentices play there, force with their masters, and geld many a full pack, to spend it in pies at the Dagger and Woolsack. Nay, boy, I will bring thee to the boards and to the roysters at Billingsgate, feasting with claret, wine, and oysters. From thence we'll shoot the bridge, child, to the cranes in the Vintry, and see there the gimblets, how they make their entry. Or if thou hadst rather, to the Strand down to fall, gainst the lawyers come dappled from Westminster Hall, and mark how they cling with their clients together, like ivy to oak, so velvet to leather. If we decide to go to the pub, we could go with what better guide to go to a London pub than Sir John Falstaff in Shakespeare's Henry IV. I was as virtuously given as a gentleman needs to be, virtuously enough, swore little, diced not above seven times a week, went to a bawdy house not above once in a quarter of an hour, paid money that I borrowed three or four times, lived well and in good compass, and now I live out of all our order, out of all compass. But we need to counter this with an intellectual view of London life, and this comes from Erasmus, the saintly visitor to Thomas More. And this is what he says. The English also have a custom which can never enough be extolled. Wheresoever you go, you are seized with kisses by all present. At your departure, they send you off with kisses. You come back, kisses again. They come to you, kisses are handed round. They quit you with a fresh distribution of kisses. We meet in the streets with copious kisses. In short, wheresoever you turn, it is a whole world of osculation. If you, dear friend, ever tasted how soft and sweet these are, you would desire to leave your home not for 10 years, as Solon did, but as a sojourner in England unto death. So clearly a fascinating city, but also beautiful, strangely beautiful, I think. This is what Alexander Magno, an Italian visitor, wrote. It's a very beautiful city, rich and populous. It has 9 gates, 8 with suburbs outside, while the other has a beautiful common where every Sunday men and women gather to meet and play. Through the centre of this city flows the River Thames, spanned by a very fine bridge of stone which has 20 arches. The bridge has houses and shops on it, very tall and fine, which is a remarkable sight even amongst the beauties of London. No less remarkable are the many swans that swim in the river. They are so domesticated that they take food from men's hands, as amongst us the more tame animals do. In the city one can see beautiful fountains put up by different kings and queens, and amongst these there are 3 outstanding ones in the street of the goldsmiths called Cheapside. The streets are spacious and well paved with limestone and flint. The church of St. Paul is very large and beautiful, with a tower and a bell tower in its middle. So how can you refuse this invitation to come and visit, do a virtual boat and walking tour around early Tudor London with Thomas More and Thomas Cromwell as your guides? You can get to it either from my website or from London Walk's website, or if you look for Kevin Flood on Eventbrite, you can get straight there. So it's Walk for London, 6:30 on Sunday, and I look forward to seeing you there.